Hello, it's Ennis. Just a quick note before we get started. I got interrupted in the middle of recording this episode, so there's going to be a slightly weird transition in the middle, but hopefully it doesn't ruin the flow too much. Enjoy!
Shock the system.
Podcast, and welcome back to the NXT Roundtable, the weekly show here where we discuss the news in the world of wrestling for the week, and then end the show with a discussion of this week's NXT. Once again, there is no Michael Farah this week as he continues his ongoing battle with gonorrhea. We wish Michael all the best. This is the rubber match week, and hopefully it shall be defeated and he shall be returning to do the intro for this show next week. Instead, I am joined, as always, by Ennis. Ennis, how's it going?
Why do you always sound so depressed when you introduce me? You were so high energy at the start, and then you went, "Oh, Ennis is here, hi." I'd like a bit more grandiose and upbeat nature in that intro, if you could.
Okay, we got this. It's Ennis McVeigh!
Hey, see, that's a bit better. I am upbeat and stuff, and people are excited to see me sometimes. So, you know, make that a regular thing.
You may be upbeat, but you are also down syndrome. So,
there was a moment. I've got Liam on webcam here. There was a moment where he considered, should I make this joke? Yeah, let's go with it. Fuck it.
Yeah, you saw me look up and go, can I get away with that? Yeah, probably.
Is it worth the cancellation? Yeah.
Yes. It's really weird. I sat before him when I was doing my audio tests. I was practicing the intro, and I realised that the Retrona intro comes naturally. Because I do it every week, and I've got the nice little smooth running intro for it. NXT Roundtable, it's really weird to intro because Michael always does it. You know, it's Michael's host show.
Yeah.
And his only host show now. But even quarantine content, it's really weird introing the NXT Roundtable and then explaining the weekly show where you talk about NXT because the word NXT is in the title.
Yeah.
It feels repetitive. But we can't change the name again. It's like 21 episodes in. We're on a good run. But yes, the running order for this week's show, we will start by recapping the news in this week's wrestling. We will then introduce a new old segment, Know Your Host and Shut Your Mouth. And then we'll get into NXT, which featured the 1 hour Iron Man main event, which I'm sure we both have lots of thoughts on. But let's kick things off with the news. Do I do this in the order that I sent you, or do I just confuse you by going it different? We'll go in the order I sent you.
Lovely.
So, Mr. Twitch streamer himself, AJ Styles, has COVID, or had COVID,
right.
Rather. He confirmed on his Twitch stream, because he's a wrestler, so he has to have a Twitch now.
Since Mixer's fucked off and died.
Yes. Oh, Mixer.
Because I think he had a deal with Mixer to actually do stuff. That's why he used it at first. And I think he switched over to Twitch now. Since
you know, he would have got paid for his full deal when Mixer died, by the way. Mixer had to pay out
really?
All the contracts, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it's not as if Facebook are hard up on money, so I really don't think it would have bothered them that much.
So Ninja, for example, was on like a several million pound deal to exclusively stream on Mixer.
Yeah.
Then obviously Mixer died.
Mm-hmm.
They got offered to continue on Facebook Gaming. If they said no, Mixer still had to see out the total amount of that deal's value. So he obviously got all of that cash and then was allowed to go back to Twitch.
Amazing.
Tried to stream on YouTube, and I think he capped out at like 100k, and then Dr. Disrespect was capping out at like 300k.
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently he's been killing it over there.
Because he's banned off Twitch. Dr. Disrespect's massive, so that doesn't really surprise me.
the only person I know of significant size who streams on Facebook Gaming is Burnt Toast.
Okay.
Part of Offline TV, which features Pokimane, the one that everyone sent over. And also, he was like a league player and streamer. But he's quite open about the fact that it's for the money.
Mm.
They apparently threw a shit ton
over
there. But anyway, yes, AJ on his Twitch was talking about the very short-lived news that The Rock had COVID.
Mm.
You know, that Dave Meltzer then said, oh, no, they're fine, like 2 hours later.
Yeah. Not even 2 hours later. I think in the next tweet, like a minute later, he said, oh, by the way, they're all fine. So
yeah, so they had COVID. Mm. And so did AJ Styles. And he said it wasn't that bad, but he's hoping that The Rock's family are all fine. Hasn't he not missed shows in, like, 5 weeks?
I think there was a point between him losing that IC title. Oh, no, in fact, no, he won the IC title. So
the only show I can think he wasn't on was SummerSlam.
Because he won the IC title. Jeff beat him for it, like, 3 weeks ago. And he's been on TV since. I suppose maybe before SummerSlam, but before the IC title win, but yeah, SummerSlam maybe. But he's still only 2 weeks. I'm feeling sure it was on TV. It must have been before he won the IC title then, which was a while ago.
Yeah. Because I think the report said last month he had it.
Mm.
And if that's the case, if I worked to WWE right now, I am shitting myself.
they all are, to be fair, just in general. How shit they run it.
Well, it's strange. Like, you know, America's not exactly recovering from COVID right now.
True.
Mainly because half of their population, I think 42%, don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'd like to go on holiday in January, fucking behave. but Sammy and Roman have both returned.
Yeah, like, it's weird. I don't know. I suppose maybe it's because they've got more measures in place. Yeah,
more money in place, and
money as well. But I suppose there's better measures in place now. They've not got the crowd there anymore, even it's just the Thunderdome now. So I suppose it's a bit safer, but even so.
I think it's also that thing of, I think the world's trying to
move on.
Like, yeah. Obviously I work in McDonald's because I'm classy. and we still have all the staff procedures in place to stop us infecting each other.
Yeah.
But in terms of stopping the customers infecting us, the procedure now, the company stance backed by the government is, say you come in to order food,
mm-hmm.
and I go, hi, do you have a mask with you? And you go, no. My response was before to go, sorry, you can't come in. It's now, okay, and you come.
What?
But if you... We are not allowed to deny you entry if you don't have a mask, mm-hmm. or you say you're exempt or you have asthma or anything. Mm. But if you go, yeah, I've got one with me, we're basically just there to ask you if you've got one and make you put it on if you do. Which is stupid.
Yeah, just a bit.
We took down all our social distance and POP to advertise the triple cheeseburger.
Lovely.
So you know, I might get COVID, but I can have a triple cheeseburger, except I can't because I don't want to be fat.
One of the things that causes COVID, that, or at least makes you more susceptible to it, definitely isn't being overweight. No, not at all. No.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting one. I guess from the positive, like, see if the world kind of just moves on from it and kind of accepts it.
Yeah.
Me and Di will get her going on holiday in January, so that's good.
You'll get COVID really during it, need this. But you know, you'll get her going holiday at least.
I was saying to Di, we've got like a spreadsheet of, for the listeners who don't know, me and former co-host Di Owen are going, travelling around Europe for, it's less than a month, but a month is the easiest way to sum it up. And we've got a spreadsheet of all the countries we're visiting, their current like COVID levels and like... what the regulations for entry and returning from them are.
Mm.
And other than the last few days, all of them are fine. There's a couple ones where we need to get a test on arrival and that's fine. There's no, like, isolate for 14 days. Two of the places we now go to, we have to isolate for 14 days if it's when we return to the UK.
Lovely.
Which is just 14 more days off work for me, so I'm not really bothered.
Mm.
But I was thinking, because we're going by train,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that... So we go, like... We spend a day in each place.
Yep.
They're not going to be able to backtrack that we were in Prague between these two places. I was like, we'd be able to arrive and just not do it. Because
I don't know, they might have to keep a track of you. I don't know how that.
The only thing that we keep a track is if we choose to get our passport stamped. It's
do you not
because a
to?
Lot of no, because we're not flying.
Oh,
it's trains.
I suppose you're not. Yeah,
so okay. a lot of it is dependent on land borders.
Mm.
So we return to the UK from the Netherlands, which have open borders. If you go like three back before that, we're in Switzerland, where if you're returning from Switzerland, but we're not returning from Switzerland. It's weird. I would just isolate for the 14 days to be safe and to get 14 days off work paid.
Anyway, yeah.
But it's an odd one.
Mm.
But hopefully we can go on this trip and be free. Another person who is free is... Brock Lesnar.
Oh, good segue. Well done.
He is no longer under contract with WWE. I think it was a case of it was running out. They can't currently use him because of Canada rules. And I think also Brock's been quite cautious about COVID, which, given that he probably believes in like UFO conspiracy theories and stuff, it's an interesting one. But yeah, he is technically a free agent, which means he could technically turn up at All Out.
Yeah, apparently, well, I had a little look into this afterwards. Apparently, this has been a thing for like 3 months, and they've only just been able to confirm it now. Yeah,
right.
So, yeah, he's apparently been free since, 3 months ago would have been June, so a little bit after WrestleMania. But I don't think he will. I think it'll be more so just to like a. Brock wants to work with WWE, and it's an easier enough schedule, and like the. They can't use him right now because of COVID, so there's no point in keeping him on a contract when they're not going to use them.
Exactly,
so,
no point paying the money.
Exactly, and Brock probably doesn't mind either if it's just not free until COVID's mostly over with. Or if they want to do something with him, just bring him in on a one-time thing until COVID's completely gone.
So he's winning the Rumble in January and battling Roman again, right? With the heel and, with the heel and face dynamic swapped.
No!
Obviously... Roman is the heel with Heyman, and then Lesnar is the face.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just have good heel Roman for a long while, please.
It's far more likely than him going to AEW.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Brock Lesnar as an individual is bigger than AEW.
In terms of like general public perception, yes. In terms of wrestling perception, no.
I guess in terms of AEW's audience, no. Yeah. In terms of like the wider wrestling audience.
Okay,
100%.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, the casual person would know Brock more than AEW.
Yeah, AEW is designed for the IWC.
Yeah.
Which is why it hates women, because so did IWC.
Did you say ICW?
Yes. I mean, they don't hate women, they enjoy date raping them. But WWE also enjoy hating women and fun. The Iconics have split up.
Why?
Why isn't Michael here when we need him
to be like... Remember when last week I said Michael being away was a good thing and that he was jinxing the Australians? I'm wrong. No. Michael, we need you back. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I don't watch Raw or SmackDown unless it's like a special thing on or I'm off work. But I believe my understanding of this is they have been feuding with Live to Riot.
Yes.
Which are the Riot Squad without the worst one. And there was a match where I'm going to assume the loser had to split up.
Yeah. So they've been feuding over the last 4 weeks. I think they had a pre-show match at Payback, which Live to Riot won. And then they had a match on Raw where I think it was a number one contenders match. So Live to Riot are now number one contenders for the women's tag titles. And the losing team had to disband, and the Iconics lost. So that's great. Although they did have a fun little thing afterwards on Raw Underground with the two of them. Like Shane was trying to console them, and then they debuted Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're on Raw Underground, so they might do something with them and Shayna, but we'll see.
Ooh, could do. I was about to say, it makes sense to have Ruby and Liv as number one contenders because they can beat Bayley and Sasha.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized that it's Nia and Shayna.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I was like, we've wanted to see Liv and Ruby, you know, go back to NXT. Mm. They don't have to go back, but if they've got the titles, they can appear on it.
Yeah.
I still think they're going to win because they should. and because Nia versus Shayna are like the can they get along, but yeah, I was gonna say the Iconics breaking up was the saddest thing to happen to women's wrestling this week, but I guess on a more serious point, Casey Michael of
Squared Circle Sirens.
Squared Circle Sirens passed away age 26 yesterday, mm-hmm. or this week?
Yesterday, I think.
Sort of one of the most renowned sources for women's wrestling in North America. Mm. Sort of everyone who's worked with him or been in interaction with him has had nothing but positive things to say, so we'd like to extend our deepest sympathies to his family and anyone who knew Casey. It's a great loss to the scene and to sort of women's wrestling as a whole. A lot of people have reached out on Twitter, you know, Carmella, Kylie Ray, sort of people from all over. So
I even Charlotte replied to the
yes
tweet.
Yeah,
because I watched just before I came on this, Sean Ross Sapp did a little video on the Fightful YouTube channel talking about him, and he talked about how like he got to know a lot of the people through going to like early FCW shows. So that's how he got
really?
Contact. So that's why people like Charlotte and all that are contacting.
That would make sense. I don't know how we segue from that onto Stephen Amell.
Say something offensive. So, it's fine. That always works as a segue.
So I'm just going to move on because I feel like it's disrespectful to use a segue on from that. But Stephen Amell, who's appeared for both WWE and AEW, and of course was in the Arrow TV series as well as apparently other TV shows. I've never seen him on another TV show, but who wrestled Christopher Daniels 2 years ago at All In?
Yes.
2018?
Yep.
Yes. He put a tweet out of him in shape with, I think, Daniels' current merch, or SCU's currently merch of 2020 is the worst year I've ever lived in.
Right.
You know,
that's
obviously
nice.
A spin-off of the This Is the Worst. Yeah. And he said, obviously it was him looking very in shape, and he was like, at Chris Daniels, you should hit me up in January. I think it's time we go again. Christopher Daniels replied, go and tell me the time and the place. Are you interested in seeing Stephen Amell wrestle again? Specifically against Chris Daniels? Because I don't care, personally.
He's always been like fine in the ring. I don't really have thoughts for or against it. If he shows up again, then cool, he can go at least. He's not like one of these celebrities who's shit and just can't wrestle. He can go at the very least. So it'll be entertaining to see at least. But, I mean, the last match in All Out last year, was that not a tag match? Steven someone versus Daniels, was that singles? I can't remember.
I think it was a singles.
Right, okay.
Because I think he lost to Daniels.
Got you.
He's kind of in that class with, like, Pat McAfee and Thingy Stewart.
John Stewart.
John Stewart, of, like, celebrities who did wrestling things who are actual fans.
You did make it sound there like John Stewart wrestled a match.
Yes. Did things in wrestling.
Yeah.
He was involved in a match,
yeah.
But like they actually care, so you know they always make the effort to actually put on a good performance rather than relying on their name justifying the performance. So I don't know, like it's not something that I'm interested in, but I wouldn't be like against it. I think it's a nice little continuation of an ongoing story in AEW, and then you know I assume AEW at some point will do their own Hall of Fame because every wrestling company does. You could have Chris Daniels and Doc Stephen Amell, and that's your celebrity thing. There was a really nice segue that I could have done if I didn't wrap that up, where I was like, oh, he doesn't rely on his name for clout.
Unlike
Jim Cornette, Jim Cornette is a racist, part 12. That is the title
only
of this segment.
Is it only that low? I thought it'd be higher than that.
Well, November last year, so what, like 10 months ago? Jim Cornette had to leave NWA commentary.
Is that only 10 months ago? Fuck me.
Yeah, I think
long.
I'm gonna double check, but I'm fairly sure because when I tried to find the full story of this, I typed Jim Cornette racist, and it's the main one that comes up. Yeah, November 2019. So, you know, 9-10 months ago, Cornette was outed from his position as NWA commentary. For a line during was it a Willie Mack match?
Yes.
And basically there was a comment about driving with a bucket of chicken strapped to your back on a bike through Ethiopia.
Yes.
Basically the joke was people of color in Africa are hungry and like chicken. It was a shit racist joke. You do get good ones. That is where I will disagree with some people. Like, I'm not here on the full anti-Jim Cornette, you can't say anything offensive wagon. It's just knowing what you can say and what you can't.
Yeah.
But then you get the defense of Jim Cornette and, you know, it continues. But I think this incident is kind of, it's less focused on, oh, he made a funny joke that was a bit racist, or, oh, he made a poor taste joke. The statement, the two statements in the latest Jim Cornette, is it the Jim Cornette Experience?
Yes, Jim Cornette Experience is a podcast.
It just is racist and not, like, yeah, funny racist. Like, it's just racist. He's talking about SummerSlam. It was in the SummerSlam review with Brian. And they were talking about the opening match. And the opening match was, of course, Asuka versus Bayley for Bayley's SmackDown's Women's Championship. Yep. And he asks his co-host Brian, as my dog gets really angry, what he
Mia's
what
very
he thought
against
of the match.
Jim Cornette's opinions.
Yes. See, she agrees. She was like, yes. Brian, the co-host, goes, before I actually say, you're not going to tell me you fast-forward this match, you told me you like Bayley. And he goes, I do like Bayley. And Jim says that his actual notes are, skipping this match, even though I like Bayley, because Riho, said like that, has ruined Japanese women's wrestling for me. So let's analyse that first point. He didn't watch an Asuka match because he... different female wrestler in a different company, in a different style of show, mm-hmm, he doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Riho is a representation of all the Japanese wrestling for him.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I feel like it's... I don't think it is his opinion. I think... the problem with Cornette is that he has this gimmick to attract twats, and it's his gimmick, but at the same time there's a line where it goes from gimmick to just being a prick, and this is crossing into being a prick, because no, they are completely different wrestlers, and they're not the same at all. And I think he said something about Io Shirai later as well, about how he skipped Io Shirai's match at Takeover for the same reason.
Yes, so he skipped both Asuka matches, the Io Shirai match.
Mm-hmm.
He said a comment along the lines of, he can't differentiate between Io Shirai and Asuka, despite completely different aesthetics and in-ring styles.
Mm.
I just double-checked there. His co-host is Brian Last, and to give credit where credit's due, Brian Last does tell him what he's saying is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you can't say that this wrestler from a different company is the same.
Mm.
And I also just double checked, he doesn't go Riho, he does it in a high pitch, almost Asian imitation, yep, accent, because of course he does. But it then gets worse after some racism. He then talks about, one, he says that SummerSlam is the second biggest WWE pay-per-view of the year, which kind of shows his age, because we all know it's the Rumble. It's the Rumble. In terms of the Rumble match,
yes. I would say in terms of, like, what they put on the shows, SummerSlam is still presented as the
In terms
best.
Of, I think, to the audience,
yeah,
at least,
mm-hmm,
it's Mania, Rumble,
SummerSlam.
Maybe Money in the Bank?
They don't consider Money in the Bank proper. Because if the undercard... no. Money in the Bank undercard's usually normal pay-per-view.
Yeah.
With a Survivor Series,
there was that period for a while where it was like competing with the top, the big four. But yeah, probably Survivor Series, then Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
He says, I wrote it down here because I don't want to get accused of misquoting him by his incel army. This is the second biggest show of the year and they give me the girls to open up. He also has a problem with the fact that there were three women's matches on this show and that they opened up because women's wrestling's not as good as men, jerk off cock. I get what you're saying about it being a gimmick. I think part of it is because there's someone that we both know who would consider themselves friends with Jim,
yep,
and would defend him in this situation.
Yep.
And part of me feels like maybe behind the scenes he's... Have you seen the Josh Peters video where they trick Katie Hopkins into...
I've seen clips of it.
Except...
not the full thing,
yes,
but I know what you mean.
they did an interview about that afterwards, and they said that when you talk to Katie Hopkins about topics that she isn't offensive about, so say if you're just talking to her about the football or whatever, she's apparently really nice to talk to.
Yep.
The problem is then 2 seconds later she segues away into being some very Ku Klux Klan type thing.
Mm.
Maybe it's the same with Jim, that if you're talking to him about what he got from the takeaway or, you know, oh, what was on TV, he's fine.
Yeah.
It's just that he then turns those opinions up for the camera because he knows that his audience love it, but also it then goes viral, which gets him more clicks.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, any press is negative or good. It's, any press is press. Yeah. And the only comparison I can really think of, I was thinking this the last 5 minutes, you know, like the like drama YouTubers, like Keemstar and like Drama Alert and all that shit.
Yes, I mean, Keemstar is Drama Alert.
Yeah, shh, same
difference. So what you mean is, Keemstar.
Yes, Keemstar. Like, a lot of them are like gimmick and sort of push to make it a bit more controversial and stuff like that, but from what I've heard of these of those people, they're also quite nice, so that's why I'm kind of going to the conclusion that it's a gimmick, but that doesn't make it acceptable. It's still a
prejudice. Yeah, I guess if we were to personalize it, we've had a few episodes where we deliberately title it after one of the more offensive things we say as a joke in the podcast, because people see the title
and
it intrigues it.
You say Michael, actually. You say it, and sometimes
actually,
Michael.
All three have been Michael, but because people are intrigued by it and click, but it's never actually offensive. It might be a joke about a sensitive subject, but it's never us being like, oh yes, all women wrestlers that are Japanese are the same.
There's always a clear line that it is a joke. Humor. That's the point of comedy, is that you're supposed to define, this is a joke, I don't actually think this. And Cornette, that line is blurred, which is part of his gimmick, but also...
Yeah. It also doesn't help that because those views are quite rightfully alienated, his audience are very militant about defending it.
Yeah.
It's like if you like something and it's taboo or it's not the norm to like it, you tend to then, your likingness of it is then intensified because you're like, no, you're wrong.
Yada, yada, yada.
And I think it's just a case of, He knows it gets some clicks. He probably doesn't like Asuka, and it's probably not because she's Japanese, but that's how he's chose to say it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be like, oh, he should not be allowed a podcast because I fucking hate this idea that you disagree with someone's opinion, they're not allowed to say it.
Yeah.
That's not how dialogue works. Yeah. That only militarizes opinions more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stuff like that just makes people see that he's a bit fucking thick and his opinion on wrestling is kind of, like... It's decaying. I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't matter because we hold a podcast with very minimal.
He's a very outdated, or at least the character he presents is a very outdated, out of touch person, which
like
works for some.
By all means, his knowledge and insight, and I guess therefore opinion on wrestling, if you think like that, matters more than ours.
Yep.
If you look at it in terms of your opinion is more important if you've worked in the industry, I tend to disagree with that, but it does allow him some insight. So I'm not going to say, oh yeah, oh he's racist, therefore his opinion doesn't matter.
No.
Because he still has insight. But like, call him a cunt, because he is.
Yeah. Or at least call him out for that bullshit. And don't let him get away
with it. But yes, credit to Brian Last, who didn't just sit and go, he did argue with Cornette on the point, which is fine.
Good.
You know, that's how dialogue works. Can I segue from dialogue? No, yes! Because I'm going to assume some companies are opening up some dialogue with some wrestlers because it's time for the contract updates. I realised that I can get an update of all of the current expiring contracts and we can just have a little bit of a quick discussion about will they re-sign, are they going to go somewhere else, what's the current like underground news on it. And then that way, if we say it and then it happens, we're a breaking news source. Big brain. So, the most imminent contract expiry date is Rey Mysterio, whose contract expires in October. It was an 18-month deal with an out in October. The underlying rumours, like this has been reported since August that his contract's expiring, is that he wants to re-sign. AEW did make an offer and he did consider it, but I feel like Dominic's probably played quite a considerable factor because WWE have shown a lot of respect to Dominic. He's featured prominently. Rey will want to be and work with his son. Do you think Ray will re-sign?
Yes, because A, Dominic, and I think he wants to help build up Dominic's career in WWE. B, if he went to AEW, he'd have to do a more... He'd have to put more in, if you know what I mean. Like, he'd have to have a better work rate. Like, as much as WWE, you know, he still has to put on a good performance, AEW's a bit more about actual good wrestling, and he'd have to put in a bit more work. Whereas WWE, I don't want to say he can coast, but, like, he doesn't have to put in... WWE's more character-based, so he can put in more work in his character rather than the actual wrestling.
Because WWE also is... A lot of their focus is... Like, they want to keep the audience have gotten older and more into pure wrestling. Yep. They do want to appeal to them. That's especially why NXT exists. But he can get away with a lot more of the casual audience because he's Rey Mysterio. Like, that's enough.
Mm.
Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins is a good match or whatever, but also it's Rey Mysterio. So the kids, young kids love it, and the dads who are with their kids like it because he was around from then.
Yeah.
It's a shame that we won't get to see him do a program like Pentagon Phoenix, Sammy Guevara. Like, well, although those matches have happened.
He did have the
Indies.
Match in it All Out. Was that
yes.
with? Who was that with? That was
a six-man,
yes.
I think, right? Was Liger in that match?
No.
Am I making that up?
It was Ray.
I'll tell you.
And I think it was Ray and the Lucha Bros versus the Young Bucks and Kenny.
Yes, that's... that. Did he not get... Yes. Yes, I think that was it. I'm pulling it. Lucha Bros, no, that is, was it All In?
All In, yeah, sorry, the original. Because Ray was definitely there, but someone else got replaced. I'm trying to remember who.
Was it not meant to be Ray, Liger, and someone else? No, that was New Japan.
Was it?
Remember, New Japan, Ray was meant to team with Liger, or might have.
So it was, yeah, God, I forgot about that. Because then Ray, all Lucha Underground shit happened.
The Golden Elite, so Kota Ibushi, Nick, and Matt Jackson. And it was Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido.
Right.
Because Kenny had the match against Penta.
Just to clarify, I'm not saying all luchadors look the same. Just to clarify.
Yeah, you know, Bandido cornetti. With his... Bandido and Penta, you know, you don't like Kalisto, and therefore you don't like any luchadors. The annoying thing is, the first two on this list, mm-hmm. I think we're both just going to say they're going to re-sign. Because the next one, in 3 months' time, so in December, Hiroshi Tanahashi's contract expires with New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm not going to say, is he going somewhere else? Because he's not. but will he retire? That's my actual question.
No. Like, if it was America and he signed for an American company, maybe. But... like, most Japanese wrestlers stay on until...
Go to the, like, 60.
50, yeah. 55. Like, Liger's...
It's the same in Mexico.
Liger's 55, I think.
So just 50. Back to him.
Yeah.
So,
Tanahashi's here from another decade or so, at least. And he's still in the main event. He's still got his, like, post-period where he's, like, he puts up new talent and stuff like that. So, nah, Tanahashi's staying, and he'll be fine.
He's also currently champ, right?
Him and Kota. And Naito's champion. He beat Evil for it.
No, as in tag champ, him and Kota.
Yes.
Golden Aces.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he was going to go anywhere, it would be AEW. It wouldn't be WWE. It would be really nice if in between that contract renewal, he did like a Liger and did one match in NXT against like Kushida.
I don't think they'd do anything like that nowadays.
They wouldn't, and it's really annoying.
In 2015, that was just before New Japan Spike. Now it wouldn't.
It's such a shame because that would be so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would put Kushida over, you know, it would draw a lot of eyes, but it's just not going to happen.
Nah.
We do now get to some interesting contracts that all expire within the next sort of November to January time.
Mm-hmm.
First one, sticking in New Japan and ROH, is Dragon Lee / Ryu Lee.
Mm.
His contract expires in December. I could see him leaving New Japan and Ring of Honor. Especially, this is his... Ring of Honor contract, because I don't think he has an official New Japan contract. I could see him going to WWE or NXT or AEW. I could see it happening.
See, the problem is because of the pandemic in the last year, and because most people don't give a fuck about Ring of Honor, there's not much hype behind him. Like, maybe, like, if it was a year ago when, like, he was coming out of Best of Super Juniors with really good matches and people were talking about him, maybe, but I feel like it'd probably be better to stay in New Japan or that for now. Or if he does leave, I don't think it'd be WWE or AEW. I'd say it'd probably be some other, I don't want to say smaller company, but yeah, smaller company. But yeah, maybe he's more obviously more likely than Mysterio and Tanahashi, but I don't think so.
See, I think the point you pointed out of there's not too much hype around them, I think that's why WWE are more likely to sign him.
Because
the issue is someone like Tanahashi, even if he did want to leave, the competition and the amount you're going to have to spend is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But they could get Dragon Lee really on a developmental contract because there's not as much hype around him. He's not going to demand going straight to the main roster. Mm-hmm. And then, you could introduce him into that cruiserweight scene.
Yeah.
And because he would presumably keep the mask, it would differentiate him from Phantasma just now. And I think if you have him, when Rush's contract expires, you are more likely to get Rush, because obviously, brothers. And Rush would be very good in either company.
True.
And is the current Ring of Honor world champion, so there's that you could use to tie off it. I don't think it'll happen, but I think so far it's the most likely. I think there's two names coming up that I think are pretty likely.
Okay.
But up first is Sami Callihan. Mm-hmm. His contract expires in November. Probably staying in Impact.
Yeah.
It's kind of
Impact treated like, really well. I doubt he'll leave.
He's not going to be a main eventer in AEW. WWE aren't going... WWE could re-sign him, you know?
No, that wouldn't. He's in the interviews I've seen from him, he's very
shooty on them, yeah.
He hates what he does.
But money talks.
This is true. But I don't think from my impression of him, I don't think he's a guy who would go just for the money.
Yeah. Because you could do a redemption arc with him in NXT, you know, where the former Solomon Crowe has returned and...
Oh God, don't remind me of that name. Jesus Christ.
Like, I'm sure they could do something with him. I don't think they will. I think he is happy doing what he's doing in Impact and then doing, like, shows all over the place.
Yeah.
Form another Impact star that I think could leave is Ethan Page. December contract expiry. There is one hell of a stacked tag division for him to go and work with in AEW. I'm not sure when Josh Alexander's contract expires, but if it's around the same time, the North in AEW, I could see happening.
See, Ethan's interesting, because as well as being in the North, he is a pretty established singles guy. Even if Josh Alexander's contract doesn't expire, I wouldn't be incredibly shocked to see him leave, but we do also have to keep in mind that Impact made them their longest reigning tag champions ever.
Yes.
So there seems to be a lot of
good ties. Mm. And obviously they're in a program with Motor City Machine Guns at the moment.
Yep.
But I guess the issue is, after that, it's not a lot of people for the North, like outside of the North splitting up and him focusing on it. Mm. But I think a lot of the recent praise has come through him being as a tag star and being this new wave of tag wrestler.
Mm. Well, they've got a couple of people. They've got the Good Brothers, a lot of the WWE people. They've got a few tag. They've got two or three tag teams coming out through that. So they've got a couple of people.
I think I feel like someone like the North versus the Revival, or sorry, FTR is like a purist wrestling tag dream.
Yeah,
you got them and the Lucha Bros. You know, there's a lot of people for them to work with. It just kind of depends what Impact are offering, what they want to do. You know, how much sort of creative freedom they want to have.
Yeah,
but I think the next one I'm fairly certain this is a dead set.
Right, okay.
That Taya Valkyrie won't be an Impact next year.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not going to use the whole, she will go to WWE because her husband's there.
Mm-hmm.
But she could go to NXT or the main roster.
Do you not think AEW?
It's AEW will want her because they need established, strong, well sort of known female wrestlers in America.
Mm.
They're crying out for them. We all know the state of the women's division.
Yeah.
But if I was Taya, I'd look at it as like, oh, if I go to AEW, I might be the star of their division. But, you know, it's like being the star of a heaping pile of shit. I think if she went to NXT at the point where Io has now moved up and, you know, maybe Dakota has, she would be the star of that division.
Mm.
And it's a good division to be a star of. And then there's the added bonus that she'd be able to... like potentially work with her husband, see, which I'm like would work either way.
My thing, I'm not too sure because I one reason is again it goes back to the whole Impact made her the longest reigning women's champion.
Yeah, she seems to really like Impact,
and she really likes Impact because Impact, like AEW, give people a lot of creative freedom, and the women's as much as like a lot of people don't watch Impact, the women's division there is pretty stacked, and it is, and they're a really good team. The women's division as a whole. So I don't know. I think she might stay on because you still got some fresh matchups. You know, her versus Deonna. I don't think it's happened yet. Yeah. And I think they've got. I think maybe in a year or two. Yeah. But I don't think so yet. I think I wonder if it also depends on where Tessa goes, because her and Tessa are.
Do they get along?
No, I think they do get along, but they had a big feud in Impact, and they had a lot of matches.
Yes, true.
I don't know. I
keep forgetting Tessa's a free. Keep forgetting Tessa's a free agent.
So does the world.
Because no one has signed her yet. She's so good. Like, she's a cunt, but she's so good.
Who else does that sound like that you like, who's a bit flippy?
We don't talk about him. He denied rape. Oh, also, Rosemary's contract expires, I think, the same time as Taya. So,
okay.
I think Rosemary will stay. I don't think she's right for either AEW or like WWE/NXT. AEW, she would be... Oh, what is the one in AEW that they have on Dark? What's that?
Abaddon. I think that's
her name. With like the blood and stuff, you know. Like I know Rosemary's slightly different, but I wouldn't.
She's
trust
a very
AEW
Impact
present
name.
Them different.
And I feel like she's probably dead serious. Kind of like somebody like Abyss. Although even Abyss has moved to WWE, he's not moved there as a wrestler.
Yeah, although he has been doing stuff with AJ Styles, which is nice.
True.
But that is the end of the news, and you know, usually we would just go right time to talk about NXT, and it's very hard to differentiate the two areas.
Is it? I feel like if you listen, you can tell. It's not that hard.
It goes from talking about wrestling, especially if the news ends on NXT related stuff.
Yeah, true.
So back when the podcast was mainly just me, Di, and Michael, and mainly me and Michael for a while, we did a thing where I'd ask Michael like a top five each week.
Okay.
And it would be like, Michael, what's your top five women's wrestlers of all time? Now that we're using those podcasts as like backups. The first one's not gone out yet because we haven't needed it yet. Mm. I might shove one up to replace Retrona this week because we're just waiting on Michael coming back. Mm. I still think we should bring back Know Your Host and Shut Your Mouth, which is just a brief little segment, just little chit-chat about a completely nonsense topic. And it gets everyone knowing us a bit better, and it allows us to have a little wrestling break before going on to NXT. I've picked two topics for this week.
Jesus.
The first one is your go-to meal deal.
Oh, Christ.
So I need to know where it's from, your sandwich, your sort of snack, your crisp or your chocolate or your fruit or whatever, and your drink.
See, I don't really get meal deals. I think the closest thing I get, I'm already doing this amazingly in that I'm not doing a meal deal, but fuck it. The closest thing would probably be Greg's. Greg's do like a thing where you get like a baguette with a drink, and do you get something with it? I don't think so. I think it's just the sandwich and the drink.
What baguette are you getting?
A ham and cheese, because I am the most boring cunt on the planet.
I rate a ham and cheese. Mm. Ham and cheese, it's boring, but you know, the co-op beside me. I think co-ops are a Scottish thing, right?
No, I think they're another place as well.
Right.
Anyway.
A small
wide
chain newsagents do a ham and cheese. They do like fresh baguettes, and they have a ham and cheese one. But it's really nice because it's buttered well and the baguette's really fresh.
Mm.
I would say I think ham and cheese with mustard is better. Mm.
Because
it gives you that little bit of a... Okay, it acts like butter and that it stops it just being too dry. But it gives it a little kick. What drink? Important question here.
I think you can answer this for me.
You're just going to be a stereotype, I know, but I need you to say it.
Listen, Iron Brew is the best soft drink out there, and I don't care if I sound like a stereotype. It's excellent.
It's a It's all right. I like Iron Brew Extra every now and again.
No, Extra's awful. Although, I would say sugar-free is as well, but I tried it with you recently and I actually kind of liked it. And I'm scared to try Extra now.
I don't drink full sugar fizzy drinks.
Mm.
It's just a thing. In terms of me, I'm going... I prefer a Tesco meal deal, but I guess the one that I eat the most at the moment is the Co-op because it's the nearest to me.
Mm.
And... it's always fruit as the side, because I don't see the point in a bag of crisps or a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Because it's always obviously a small size one, and it's just a bit of a waste. So I'd get something like ham and cheese, chicken and stuffing's nice, or chicken salad, if I'm being healthy, because it's surprisingly nice. I thought it'd be a bit bland, but it's quite nice. So maybe a ham, cheese and mustard. Always sandwich, never pasta.
Oh, of course. Yeah, pasta's weird.
A tub of fruit or the chicken skewers.
Fine.
And then Pepsi Max cherry or Coke Zero cherry. Something zero sugar with flavour. It's nice and healthy. It's filling. And it means I eat some fruit because otherwise I never eat fruit. Like, the only other time that I would eat fruit is on a pizza, which is topic number two. Your go-to pizza place of choice.
Oh, God, right, okay.
Pizza.
Okay.
And if you get any sides when you get pizza.
Okay, so mine is a bit weird. There is a takeaway near here. Shall I name it? Fuck it, yeah, why not? Mark Antonio's in Motherwell. It's great. I get a pizza with ham, mushroom and smoked sausage. Nobody else does smoked sausage, but for some reason this place does. And I get a side of a single sausage on its own with nothing else.
Because... do you put the sausage on the pizza?
Eat it separate.
Is it just like one of the is it Big Daddy's that are the ones that you buy in the green packets, Cumbernauld or something?
Hang on, let me have a look.
You microwave them?
No. The smoked sausage on the pizza, yeah. The sausage that's separate is just like a fried, like a sausage supper you would have, just a sausage on its own.
Oh, like a deep fried sausage.
Yeah. Got you. Mia does not like my food opinions, apparently.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't like being locked out of the room. It's all right. Mushrooms is a weird one. Like, I like mushrooms in some things, but not others.
See,
like,
I've really gotten into mushrooms the last, like, year or so. Because mushrooms, it's weird enough that it gives it a weird taste, but it's also got a weird texture, and I quite like having mushrooms in things, I found out.
Like, I like mushroom, like, if I'm having, like, something where they're fried, in terms of, like, in a stir fry or a pasta. I don't like them on a fried breakfast. I'm not a big fan of them on pizzas.
Mm.
But if there was a pizza that someone was offering me a slice of and I had it on them, I'd eat it.
Mm.
It's not something I would order.
You've tempted me to get this pizza tonight, by the way. I was considering what I was going to get for my dinner, but I'm getting this now.
I'm already decided, because yesterday was payday, right. And I did a weigh-in today and I've lost like another kilo and a half. Nice. I was like, well, if I just have a light lunch, I can get a Domino's, like the low-fat cheese pizza.
Domino's, though. It's the worst brand.
So, I think, I've said this to you before, I might even said it on the last podcast, I think getting a pizza as a takeaway is a waste of a takeaway.
Right.
If it's a thing where, like, once a week you can get a takeaway, a pizza's a waste, because you can get, like, a frozen pizza for $2.50, and I know it's not the same, but it's close enough.
Mm.
Whereas, like, you can't recreate a Chinese beef and black bean.
True.
Like, easily. But the reason I'm doing Domino's is because I've got discount code for it, and I can do the low-fat one. You can't really do a low-fat either way. The best pizza I've ever had was the pizza we got in London. That was in Square, and it was just really
amazing.
Fresh, really light.
Next time,
when this is all good,
going down, we are going to London. We are getting that pizza.
Just to get that pizza.
Because, oh my God.
My usual... for a while, I'd get, like, Meat Feast, and I'd want every topping, and then I realised that more toppings doesn't make a better pizza.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I tend to be pepperoni and olive.
Mm.
That's it.
I've never tried olive pizza.
Yeah. So I there are two things over the last few years that I used to really hate that I now like: coffee and olives. I thought sushi might get added to that list.
Nope. Weirdly, it's been added to mine, which, if anyone knows my food opinions, is a very weird addition.
I really want to like sushi. It's trendy. It's like nice and small packets. You know, spicy. I like spicy. Spicy, crunchy, not too fishy. but So you get, it's usually double pepperoni.
Okay.
And good pepperoni has to be crispy. You don't
see,
just want...
I don't get pepperoni sometimes, because they, when they fire it up too much, it gets all burnt around the side, and then it's just all hard.
Nah. See, you need it in the right bit, where it's not like you're just eating a slice of salami and you have to snap, like, pull it.
Mm.
But you want it crispy without being burnt.
Yep.
And then the olives are just a nice bit of saltiness.
Yeah.
Or I'll get, like, pepperoni, red onions and peppers. I try and get veg on there so it feels less bad.
Hello again. This is where I get interrupted, so we're going to have to end off Know Your Host and Shut Your Mouth there and try and give it another go next week. But we're going to pick things back up again with this week's NXT review.
So we kick things off with NXT this week, with the Super Tuesday, of course, and we open things off with a six-man street fight, no holds barred fight, between Legado del Fantasma and Gay Panic, the team, as the super sexy Swerve and the tag team that makes everyone question their sexuality, Breezango, go head-to-head. Continuation of the feud that's kind of overlapped between Breezango, Swerve, and Legado del Fantasma.
Mm.
No holds barred. They use a lot of the surroundings well. We get a lot of different weapons. We get some old-school weapons like the fire extinguisher, which I really liked.
Mm.
Never really gets used too much. The sort of in-ring, sort of the well-played-out wrestling happens mainly between Swerve and Fantasma.
Yeah.
Escobar. And a lot of the sort of more comedic... Ooh, as I hit my mic. My more comedic high spots happen between Wild Mendoza and Breezango. I guess the main spot for this match is when Fandango's getting 5-on-1 teamed because Imperium have come out because they can. Mm. There's nothing to stop them. And they're beating down Fandango. And then, almost teleportingly, Swerve and Breeze are on top of a crane?
A forklift. I have multiple questions about this. One, who the fuck is driving the forklift? Two, why are they on top of a forklift? Three, how are they directing the person to get them in front of the ring to try and... there's so many questions. I mean, it looks cool, but it makes literally no sense.
Yes. And then they jump off it, spells everyone down. Finish to the match comes when Swerve hits Escobar with, like, the full Nelson pile driver.
Mm.
And picks up the 1-2-3 over the Cruiserweight champion.
Mm.
What were your thoughts on this match opening, thoughts on the match overall, and where you see things going?
I'm glad they went, like, brutal right from the start, just used the weapons immediately, because I feel like they should have left the pure wrestling to the main event, which is what they ended up doing, which is good. I didn't expect Imperium to come in. I was expecting them to just stay off TV until Walter and Wolf were back, but I suppose good that they're on TV still. They're fine on their own, Eichner and Barthel. I keep calling them Axel Theater Jr. But it was cool. It was a good main event, but not main event. Christ, opening match even. I don't know how I feel about Scott pinning Escobar. I kind of wanted this to be the end of this feud, but I think this means that Scott's getting another title shot, which it'll be a good match. But I kind of just want this to end now and for Escobar and Scott to go on to some other things. I don't know if you thought the same.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's not a takeover coming up, right? There's nothing...
I don't think there's anything until Survivor
January?
Series. No, Survivor Series, War Games, usually.
War Games, yes.
I don't know how they're going to do that in COVID, but, you know, we'll try.
So it's not even like, oh, we can continue this... And then it can be on TakeOver, which will allow it to elevate the feud. It's just going to be another NXT... Well, it wasn't even main event last week.
Mm.
I guess the finish wasn't clean last week either.
True.
So I guess it means we can have Escobar definitively win next week.
Yeah.
Whenever they next do it. But they need to do something different with that match, because this has been going a while.
Yeah.
My issue is then I don't know who Escobar faces afterwards, because the Cruiserweight... representation further down the card
is
like, if you look at that tournament, Kushida's not done anything of note.
Atlas Drake is gone.
Maverick is
Drake
is gone. Rush is gone.
Yeah, Drake's doing stuff with UE right now, but
yeah, And they've done that. Like, that's where this came from. So, and someone like Atlas has been written off TV, so I'm not sure.
Weirdly, they didn't actually have Maverick versus Escobar for the title. They kind of just dropped that off, which was a bit weird. But, I mean, if they do end up doing that, then fine. But I don't think that's the direction they're going.
No. So it'll be interesting to see where we go from here. Moving on, we go straight into more in-ring action.
No, we get a promo from Tegan first.
Yes.
It's following up from the promo last week where she was like, I want to reconcile with Candace, essentially. I like with this that they're acknowledging like the friendship between Candace and Tegan, because too often in wrestling, as soon as someone turns heel, anyone who's faced has to hate them immediately, regardless of whether they were friends or not before. And I like that they're sort of still showing that they are still friends, just Tegan disagrees with how Candace is going about things now.
Yeah, like, it's the same way that they showed clips from, like, Candace's cooking show and things like that. Like, they acknowledge the outside world of NXT. That leads into a match featuring Candace LeRae as she takes on Kacey Smith in one-on-one action.
It's never this not going to be funny.
Yep, it's the podcast. We're going to die on this hill of Kacey Smith. This was really good. Surprisingly really good. Kacey looked, her gear looked a little different. I'm not sure what it changed, but it looked better. And her and Candace did some really solid in-ring technical wrestling. Lots of really nice arm drags, lots of really good heel face work. Candace picks up the win, which is sensible. Kacey looks strong at another show-in. We do need to get to the point where Kacey starts winning if we ever want it to be credible.
But, well, I think they're kind of doing like a tag team thing between her and Caden. Because I noticed in the Titans one, it's her and Caden. It's not just Kacey on her own anymore.
Which would be helpful if that women's tag title was... Oh my God, what if the Dusty Classic this year is women?
Oh, that's such a good idea! Oh,
it just makes so much more sense. It's like when... company name retracted, all in capital letters with an eagle, made the MPS for the women's title.
Yeah.
You could, if they're not going to bring the women's tag team title to NXT, you could get away with introducing an NXT women's tag title.
That's a really good
and
idea.
Doing it in the Dusty Classic, which makes the Dusty Classic matter. And also there are pre-existing teams.
Yeah.
So you don't need to shove them together.
That's why they put Dakota and
Raquel. And then Tegan and Candace could do
that's
something.
That's where this is going. Yeah. Oh, yes. We are fucking geniuses.
We've worked it out.
We've got it. When if we get
Dusty
this,
Classic,
this is amazing.
Usually War Games time, right?
Yeah.
So it would make sense. I'm just going to grab
my phone. I can't wait until it gets... the Dusty Classic gets announced in like 3 weeks and it's just like normal shit. Our better idea is not going to get used.
Dusty, I'm tweeting this just now. Dusty Classic.
This will date when this podcast is recorded. I'm going to say like it's not going to release today anyway.
Dusty Classic this year will be for the NXT...
Are you tweeting it like a scoop?
Women's... Tag Team Championship.
This is great content for a podcast. Just you sitting tweeting.
Shotzi and Rhea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Iconics were still together. They could have done them. Oh.
Robert Stone Brand.
There are so many women. They've been set. This is, has to be it.
Raquel and Dakota. Tegan. Or Knox, because I never know which right. Knox and Candace. This is how I write tweet. Knox and Candace. Kacey.
Just skip forward like 30 seconds if this is boring.
I need one more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who else is... There's plenty. I just
Marina
can't think
Marina
and
Jessamine? They're on Raw, but I know they could.
Io and someone.
Asuka.
Yes. Yes, there's the surprise team, Io and Asuka.
Oh, yeah, because that brings in someone from the roster. Oh, I mean, Io and Asuka are going to win because fucking
first.
Makeshift teams are always win.
Hashtag NXT Super Tuesday. Right, now that's done.
Excellent.
Candice LeRae does a promo after the match.
Yes.
And she invites Tegan to dinner at the Garganos, and I am so excited because I've started to really enjoy the stupid in wrestling, right? Mm. As seen by Robert Stone and the Tank and such. Mm. They should definitely win the Dusty Classic if they do it. And they should present the title in a tank.
No!
But I'm really excited for whatever funny shit's going to go down at dinner at the Garganos.
I feel like they could do like stupid stuff like the whole like black and white and grey thing. They try and do it on TK and she's just like, no, what the fuck is this?
So, you know, Candice was doing it and it cuts to her and then it cuts to Tegan and she's like, what the fuck? What's this? And then it's like rainbows appear and the Welsh dragon in the background.
I love that we make these ideas. They're never going to get used, but you know, we've got the good ideas.
There. What might happen is, you know, Tegan and Candice are talking and like Candice is like, yeah, but you need to remember your roots. And she goes, I know, like some people say I look like my dad. And just more C'est la vie references because I live for it. The two of them telling Johnny to get out when he's ruining their dinner and stuff. So there's so many things he can do, and then it'll lead to a really good match. So I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
What comes after that? I have a match written down.
You can tell that I make the notes on this. Liam just has the match order. There was a promo from Rhea that was followed. Oh no, this is actually the first promo. So it's a promo from Rhea who challenges Mercedes to a steel cage. And I believe after the next match, I may as well just talk about it now. It's a very short promo. Mercedes
accepts.
And accepts it. So next week we are getting Rhea Ripley versus Mercedes Martinez in a steel cage, which I'm interested about because I didn't think they'd progress this quickly with it. Because last week we were thinking, you know, maybe it's going to be a four-way feud for the title at TakeOver, next TakeOver. But apparently not. So I'm curious to see where they go from here.
I guess this makes sense in terms of Rhea would want to keep the Robert Stone brand from getting involved and from Shotzi helping her. She just wants this settled in a big, big old fight.
Yep.
This should be a really serious match. But also, if we could do something funny where Robert tries to help his client by climbing up the steel cage and just at one point gets stuck and falls back and his foot's holding him in the steel cage, like dangling down, he just stays there for like half the match while the two of them ignore him and wrestle. All for it.
Yeah.
All for it. Should be a really good match. Really good for Super Tuesday. They're really putting a lot of effort into making sure people still tune in. 860,000 people, if you give a fuck.
I think that links in. I should have brought this up in the news, but there was WrestleWorks put out a thing yesterday saying they're considering moving NXT to another day. I imagine it will probably be Tuesday, based on the fact that the idea that they're putting so much good stuff on this Tuesday is kind of, I imagine, a test to see how much bigger the jump is in viewership on Tuesdays. So I'm curious. To see if they do actually go on Tuesdays or whether or not they stick with Wednesdays. I just hit my table. Apologies.
I think the issue with that is that not kind of accepting defeat to AEW?
No, because I think...
Because Twitter seems to think so.
Yeah, but Twitter's just full of arseholes who care about the ratings. and most people don't. Like, it's wrestling that you don't have to... Like, it's more wrestling that's separated out. I think it's better for everyone. Fuck it. Like, true, it, like, having it on the same night probably makes them want to one-up each other. But I still think, regardless of them being on separate nights, people are still going to try and compare the two of them. So I feel like it's not really going to change much. Some people will see it as them losing to AEW, but those people don't matter.
AEW lives don't matter. but... Yes, do we go into the Tim Thatcher match
yes,
next?
Yes, we do. Bronson Reed versus Tim Thatcher.
It's fine. This was interesting, right? Because neither of these men interacted with each other on NXT last week.
No, they did. Reed had
Timothy Thatcher...
Oh, no.
Bronson Reed interacted with Austin Theory.
Thatcher confronted Priest and then Reed confronted Austin Theory. You're right.
So naturally, they're having a match against each other where neither of those men get involved. I guess this is kind of like a de facto number one contenders match for the North American title. So therefore, it makes sense that Thatcher won because him and Priest didn't interact.
The match was a bit boring, I'll be honest. It felt like it was missing something.
Yeah. I don't know if Thatcher maybe doesn't fit Reed's sort of more fast, high-flying style. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was fine. Like, it gets Thatcher a win, fucking finally. And Reed has been well-established over the last couple of weeks, so it is someone technically big. And I imagine this is going to lead to Reed versus Theory and Thatcher versus Priest. Thatcher versus Priest, I imagine, should be pretty good, so... I think it's going in the right direction. Just this match itself was really just to build the two of them up.
Yeah, Thatcher wins by tapping him out, and I'm like, okay, yeah. We didn't need this match. What do we move on to? Because I believe there's something between this and the main event. So, it is the main event, Rex, right? So, we move on to the main event, and as established, it is the Fatal 4-Way Iron Man match for the vacant NXT Women's Championship? World Championship. Obviously vacated after Cross's injury. And was built basically off the back of these are the four biggest champions in NXT history. So we kind of get straight into things, and it's hard to get invested early on because we go half an hour before there is an actual fall. We get half an hour of just kind of two people wrestling at a time. Oh, look, there's two on the outside, there's two on the inside. They're all doing the spots. Then half an hour in, Balor gets the... No, Ciampa?
The first fall
Gargano
is...
gets the first fall, right?
No.
I've realised that I think my Balor
gets the So Balor gets the first fall over Adam Cole. I'll continue from where he's left off. Balor gets the first fall over Adam Cole after coup de grace. Because they mainly focus on Cole during this match. I'll go through it since we're on the thingy. Gargano shortly after steals the second fall off of Ciampa. Ciampa hits,
which was great.
Willow's Bell. Hits the knee and then does Angel's Wings.
Fairy tale ender.
Yes, and then we get Cole pinning Gargano with Panama City Sunrise. Ciampa then pins Cole with a Willow's Bell, where Gargano sells it amazingly and just rests on his head for about 5 minutes. It's great. And then we get, so that ties them all up one wall. And then the last 15 seconds, Balor pins
Ciampa,
I think, yes. And then as Balor gets up from the coup de grace, Cole hits the last shot. And then literally the last second, Cole pins Balor to even up. So
and this is where things take a bad turn.
Yeah.
So in every other Iron Man match, when it's a tie, we go to sudden death.
Yep.
So, you know, you would think that, although it was the two other people from what we predicted last week, although we did say that Ciampa and Gargano would be tied, and they were, it would just make sense to go into extra time, or sudden death, rather, between Balor and Cole.
Yep.
Nope, William Regal comes out and very quickly and rushed, like they were trying to get off air, says, we're going to have a singles match next week, and the winner of that will be champ.
Which, I get why they've done it, because they want to pull more people in for Super Tuesday next week. Super Tuesday have also too, just, but also, you built this up for a week.
And wasted an hour of my time.
Yeah.
Because, in terms of in-ring action, it wasn't that great.
I think it was.
It was fine. It was fine. It was good.
It wasn't takeover level, but it was NXT main event level.
Yeah. Like, the opener, I'd argue, was, in terms of, like, effectiveness and enjoyability, was more effective and enjoyable than this main event.
See, I enjoyed this main event quite a lot because it was. See, I don't usually like Iron Man matches, but I liked this because it was just pure wrestling for 60 minutes and it didn't get boring to me because it was the four different people and they kept swapping between them all.
Well, me, Di, and Michael spent most of this time reciting lines from Come Fly With Me because there was lots of nice overlapping stories in it. And I have a prediction to why we're doing Cole Balor one-on-one.
Right.
And it ties into what happened last week with Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, no. You're not going where I think you're going, are you?
I think Balor wins next week.
Yeah.
And I think the Undisputed Era either turn on Cole or O'Reilly turns on Cole. I'm not sure to what extent. But it's the only reason that I think, other than dragging it over to next week, that I think a one-on-one match makes sense.
See,
because
I was thinking,
Cole,
oh, I'll let you go.
Cole beat Balor during their title matches previously because of the Undisputed Era.
Yep.
The only thing that could change that match and
Prince, it was still the Prince character on both.
Yes.
Kyle O'Reilly, Costume Adam Cole gives Balor the title, which is probably the most interesting of the four. But also gives us a new story with Adam Cole.
See, I'm going a different direction with this.
You have them joining Finn Balor.
Because Adam Cole in this match looked like the most face. And he hasn't really been doing much bad stuff. The only people who attacked Drake and Kelly, Drake in the match last week were Roderick and Bobby Fish. So I see it as Cole is Bobby Fish and Roderick turn on Adam and Kyle.
Kyle.
Join Balor. And make a sort of... It's a weird faction, that, though. Balor, Bobby Some Fish, smarky and Roderick Strong.
Faction.
But that I think that could be quite a cool little few post, like Roderick and Fish versus Balor and Cole and O'Reilly. Because we went down the route of O'Reilly betraying Cole last week, but I think maybe putting them together
as
a face would actually work better. But I'm not sure.
And there's your final of the Dusty Classic.
Oh my god. When our shit idea of the women's
world. No, when our much better idea happens. And instead it's like Bronson Reed and Damian Priest. And both members of both sides of the feuding Undisputed Era. And Breezango and Legado del Fantasma. Imperium. And Imperium.
Oh god, no.
And the 1-2. There you are. What I did like in this match was Ciampa. Was very, especially the opening sort of 5 minutes, very dominant, high intensity heel, big knees, everything. He looked vicious and suited the character. It was really good in ring and wrestling, but making me watch a match for an hour to not have an outcome it's effective in terms of, I think the storytelling was good, and it gives you a main event for next week.
Yeah.
It did get leaked beforehand, which I think harmed it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And also, it was a massive waste of a lot of people's time.
I think it's different between you and me, because you watched it live, and you also and you're also watching it at 2 in the morning, whereas I watched it the morning after, and I didn't feel... watching live, I probably would have felt a lot worse about it. But because I watched it the morning after, I kind of felt a bit more up on it. And Cole versus Balor next week should be really, really good. So, I'm up on it.
So next week's show, if I just pull this up here, I'm pretty sure I know it, but
it's just Balor, Cole, and Rhea,
and Mercedes Rhea.
I think that's all that's been announced. There wasn't much announced this show either, so they probably just make some stuff up. Oh, and probably Tegan and Candice thing.
Got dinner, so they've got that segment, but I don't think we'll go straight to matches. So, what we're talking, the Super Tuesday... Oh, NXT 420 next week. Matt Riddle's going to be on the show. Yeah, it's just those two matches announced so far. So, be interesting to see what they do.
We're going to be getting NXT 500 soon. Well, I say soon, like, probably next year. just over a year and a half.
80 weeks, which...
72 weeks.
Four weeks in a month. 80 divided by 4 is 20. 20 weeks, so a year and a half. 20 weeks.
I think it's like something like 70 weeks in a year. Can't remember.
So we're 80 shows away. Sorry, we're 80 shows away.
I got
four shows a month. I'll just
Google. I can't Google because I can't type.
80 shows a week. 80 shows away. shows a week.
I'm going to Google it.
There are four shows a month, which means we are 20 months away. Which 12 months, we are exactly a year and a half away.
Just making sure. 80 weeks. You could, instead of doing that, you could have just Googled 80 weeks from now, and it would have told you it's the 17th of March 2022.
Yeah, a year and a half.
So we're not that close to it, but you know, it's a thought for the future.
Ennis, I just want to know how your flights for NXT UK TakeOver Dublin next month feel.
Please cancel it again. I'm so sad because it's literally, me and Di got front row tickets for that. And of course, the one show that got front row tickets got fucking cancelled.
It was meant to be the first NXT UK takeover that I wasn't at because Chelsea's mum was going on holiday and I'd said to Chelsea that I would stay and like look after the house.
Yep.
And then it got cancelled, so it's great.
To be fair, Triple H did say in a conference call lately that it probably will get postponed again. So...
Apparently today is NXT UK 108.
Oh, really?
The champion and his challenger.
Interesting. Because I know they're doing the tapings again for NXT UK, I think, this week. Because Triple H had a conference call about it yesterday. That's how we talked about and delayed again. But I hope it happens. Mainly so I can get front row in a takeover. But
they would just offer you replacement tickets, I think.
True.
Yep, and the next pay-per-view this month in terms of main roster is Clash of Champions.
Oh, there is All Out. I just remembered All Out is this weekend.
Yes. So there's some news regarding All Out.
All right, okay.
I've got the card here. We'll end on this.
Sure.
So remember how I was like, well, fair play to them. They've got two women's matches.
Mm-hmm.
Britt Baker versus Big Swole is now a teeth and nail match.
The fuck? The hell is that?
Tooth and nail. Right. I'm not sure, but you fight tooth and nail. So I guess it's probably like no DQ.
What?
That's that. Yep. Tooth and nail match. I don't know. Nothing seems to tell me.
I assume it's something to do with like Britt being a dentist and shit.
Yes. Probably a dentist.
Pull a teeth out or something. It'll be some eye for an eye bullshit. But done better.
But it's been moved to the pre-show. So, despite the fact that we have 8 matches on the main show, 50% of the women's had to get moved. And instead, we have a broken rules match. Matt Hardy versus Sammy. If Matt Hardy wins, he has to leave AEW.
It'd be quite an interesting stipulation. If he won the match, he'd have to leave. That would be a really cool match, actually. If you won the match, someone trying their best to lose the match on
That's
purpose.
What they should have... No, they should have done that for the revival. They had to win if they wanted to leave. The Young Bucks take on the Jurassic Express.
Okay, fine.
The Dark Order take on Mark Cardona, Scorpio Sky, and the Natural Nightmares.
They've been building that for a while, so I get that.
Yeah. We got some more names announced for the Casino Battle Royal. Billy Gunn, Austin Gunn, Sean Spears, Jake Hager, Santana, Ortiz, Chuck Taylor, and Trent. Which, if you count, is 1, 2, 3 tag teams.
Yep. I mean, to be fair, they got nothing else to do. Why is the Casino Battle Royal on the main show and Britt versus Swole is
women?
Because no one gives a fuck about the Casino Battle Royal.
I guess they must have a big name announced for the TBDs.
Oh, true. And it is for the future AEW World Championship. Absolutely not.
Hikaru Shida versus Thunder Rosa, who cares?
Thunder Rosa isn't very good. She's now full on with AEW, so...
She's not very good.
AEW's also signed Serena Deeb, I noticed, on this week's
AEW. Yes, she debuted, yes. So, two not very good female wrestlers. Aww. Good job.
She's okay. She's better than Tanara.
She's fine.
I mean, let's see. To be honest, that's like comparing shit to shit. She's not
very
anyway.
Kenny Omega and Adam Page are losing the title to The Revival.
Yeah. Great.
Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy are facing off in a Mimosa Mayhem match, and MJF is winning the title against Jon Moxley.
I've noticed in the Mimosa Mayhem match, you can win by pinfall submission. I really hope Jericho just submits Orange Cassidy and they don't use the Mimosa.
They don't use the Mimosa thing.
They build this up. That'd be great.
I move my shifts around so that I'm doing 2 weeks of the overnights, which means 2 weeks that I can't watch NXT live, which is like whatever.
Okay.
But it does mean that I finish work at 1 a.m. Sunday morning because I'm 4 to 1 on Saturday. I go to sleep. I don't go to sleep. I watch All Out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go to sleep after it because I'm on overnight. So I don't start work till 11 at night the next day. So I will be watching All Out so we can cover it next week on the pod.
Oh, yeah, Saturday night and Sunday morning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that wraps up another episode of the NXT Roundtable. Closing thoughts on us?
It was a fun little episode. I think because it was dominated by the Iron Man match, we can't really judge it as like a proper usual episode of NXT.
Yeah.
I think next week's episode will be probably a better show of like a special show with a proper, like, full-on show. But for what they did, it was pretty good. And it's progressed a bunch of stories. You know, you've got Candice and Tegan saying set up for next week, Rhea Mercedes, even if it was little promos, Reed and Theory, and then obviously Cole versus Balor. So a lot of stories progressed, and it was a pretty good show for what they did.
None of my favourites were on it, so therefore it is bad. next week, I hope we get Shotzi, Robert Stonebrand, Karrion Kross, all on the show.
Karrion would be interesting, considering he's injured. Did you forget Scarlett, about that already?
Scarlett does something spooky.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that works, actually.
But yeah, that wraps up the NXT roundtable. Who plays us out this week? You know what? C'est la vie plays
sure.
us out.
Fuck it. Yeah,
we missed our chance last week. No one won the title. We'll be getting played out by Balor presumably next week. So next week we will hopefully have Michael back. We will be able to sit down and discuss All Out as well as any wrestling news. So make sure you check it out. Innes, anything you would like to plug?
As usual, my Twitter is at Innes_McVey, INNES_MCVEY. I tweeted a tweet about Pokemon that got like 9 likes. That was interesting. But I don't really use Twitter or anything like that anymore. So yeah, follow it if you want. Otherwise, don't.
Great. You can follow me on Twitter at Liam A. Stewart. I moan about stuff. That's kind of my thing. And make sure you follow the brand at Develop Podcast because changes are coming.
Maybe.
Possibly. Be good people. Tree.